Our scripture reading this evening comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and then returned to her home. May God help us and bless us to understand the reading of his word. There was a pastor once who had the opportunity, which I find amazing, to be in Jerusalem at Christmas. I don't know who he got to preach or why he decided to leave, but he was pastor of a very large church in Atlanta, and he got to go away one Christmas to Bethlehem. He had to see it, he said, on Christmas Eve, and he decided to drive down to Bethlehem from Jerusalem. And if you've ever been there, it's a little bit of a ride, and you kind of go down and then up. And somehow, on the drive there, he got lost, and he couldn't find Bethlehem. And he was dying to be in Bethlehem for Christmas. That's the whole reason he went to Israel. And he was driving around, and he was in Jerusalem, and he was almost there. And he gets lost. And he even tried to ask for directions. But most of the people that live around the town of Bethlehem in Palestine did not know or care where the service was being held for Christmas Eve. And he was so disappointed because he couldn't find it. And then he said to himself, "I was looking for Christmas, but it's not in the little town of Bethlehem. It's not in the actual town, is it? For it's really inside of me where Bethlehem resides." And when he actually got to Bethlehem, he was kind of let down, because if you've ever been there, it's kind of touristy. They have all these different little gimmicks and places you can go to buy this or that, or go this place or that place. And he was let down. Are you searching for Bethlehem in your heart? I don't know if you know about Bethlehem in the Bible, but it's a pretty popular city outside of this particular story. It was well-loved and appreciated and sort of popular for many years before. For Jacob, if you know of him in the Old Testament, loved his wife Rachel. And I don't know if you know how much he loved her, but he worked 14 years for her. Because the first 7 he thought he was working for, and he ended up marrying Leah. And then he worked another 7 years and finally got to marry Rachel. And guess where they went to have the birth of their second son? Bethlehem. And poor Jacob actually lost Rachel in the childbirth. And she died in Bethlehem. Have you lost somebody that you love? Do you miss them this Christmas? In the words of Scripture, it says that Jacob journeyed on after her service because he had to. He had 12 sons that he needed to raise. He had purposes in his life that God had put upon him, and so he needed to journey on. I don't know if you know about the story about Naomi, but her husband died in Moab, and both of her sons died. But it's a great story because Ruth came along, who was her daughter-in-law, and decided to travel with Naomi back to her homeland. And she was a Moabitess and was despised. And guess where they ended up? In Bethlehem. And God was at work in the midst of Ruth and Boaz. And guess what happened with them? They ended up being married, and they had a child whose name was Obed, who ended up being the father of Jesse, who ended up being the father of David, who ended up being the king, and was in the line of descendants to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so indeed, if you were listening, the third very important story in the Old Testament that happened in Bethlehem was that King David had his boyhood in Bethlehem. That's where he learned to play the harp, where he learned to learn how to throw the slingshot so that he might defeat Goliath. He learned to believe in himself, and that's the main thing a parent can do for a child in a church or at home, is to teach their child that life matters and that life is important to God. And David never forgot Bethlehem. Oh, wait. Maybe he did. When he became king, his crown got kind of heavy. You know the story of David? He fell in love with a married woman and had her husband killed, and he had a lot of things go wrong. But one thing about David was that his heart longed for God. And he asked for forgiveness, and he was forgiven. And the Bethlehem that was inside of him was born again. I believe that this Christmas we all need to have our hopes and our fears met tonight. We can look back at the stories of Rachel and Ruth and David, the story of love and broken hearts, and we can hear the hymn that we just sang after the offertory by Philip Brooks called "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Did you hear the lyrics? It said, "How still we see thee lie, above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Do you know about Philip Brooks? Anything about the author of that hymn? He was actually the pastor of Holy Trinity in Philadelphia, right down the road from here. And guess when he wrote the song? He himself visited Jerusalem and Bethlehem as well. And he was so impressed with the town of Bethlehem, and he was so impressed with how it continued to haunt him and speak to him and beckon to him many years after he left, that 3 years later, he wrote the song for his Sunday school class to teach them about the story of Jesus' birth. Going back to the pastor that went over there one Christmas and got lost, I think it's easy sometimes to get lost on our way to Bethlehem. Sometimes our hearts weigh heavy with loss or discouragement, with illness or grief. Sometimes the pressures around us seem too great, or the sadness of family arguments or any disappointments seem to get to us. But we need to hear that our hopes and our fears are met in Bethlehem tonight. Maury Callahan, who is a short story Canadian writer, one time told this story. He came outside and they had a big live nativity out in front of the church. Have you ever seen one of those where There's almost a life-size Mary and Joseph and a baby Jesus and the shepherds and the magi. And so the priest came outside and he was stunned because the baby Jesus had been stolen out of the manger scene. Have you guys heard this story? And so he was so disappointed. He called the cops and he said, "Hey, you know, who would desecrate the nativity? Who would do this? Who would steal the baby Jesus from the manger scene outside of a church on Christmas Eve?" And so the cops came and everybody was discouraged and writing up a report and trying to figure out what had happened. And up the road came a little boy with a red wagon. And inside the red wagon, he's pulling it along. Baby Jesus is in the wagon. And the little boy comes up to the priest and hands over baby Jesus. And the priest goes running up to him and says, "I'm going to tell your parents you stole a baby Jesus out of the nativity scene. I can't believe you did this." And the little boy said to the priest, I promised Jesus that if I got a red wagon for Christmas, that he would get the first ride. Do you want baby Jesus to be born in your heart anew tonight? Do you want to give him a ride in the best present you've ever received, the gift of life, your beating heart? I'm going to close with a simple story from the New York Times. It's kind of funny, really. Do you know there's a Santa Claus school that you can go to become a Santa Claus at a local store or mall? Now, I don't want to tell you that I don't believe in Santa Claus, because I do. But these people go to school to learn how to handle it when people come and visit them. And they're told to have sweet breath, to eat mints, and they're told to talk softly. And this year they were given instructions when they talked to people that they were allowed to say that this year the economy's hard and to maybe scale down the promises that they would tell anybody that asked what they might get for Christmas. Scale down what we might get for Christmas. Well, I have some good news for you tonight. We don't have to scale down what we get for Christmas, because Jesus Christ is who is born this night and born anew in our heart. And what he gives us is the gift of forgiveness, a new life, and hope that we can never buy anywhere, whether the economy is good or bad. So I pray for each of you this night that your hopes and fears of all the years are met in me.